Kansas City Community Radio. Hey, hello, happy afternoon, happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Maria Vasquez-Poit. I think you heard me a couple of times there before I actually went live, but we're glad that you're with us on ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So it's 2020, the second week of 2020, and in the studio today we have Brandon Harrelson, poet T.L. Sanders, and Mason Andrew Kilpatrick. And, you know, there's some really wonderful stuff that each of them are going to share with us today from the studio here in Midtown. So we're going to start off first with poet T.L. Sanders. You know, he has a very, very busy calendar, and he's going to tell us all about the wonderful events that you can participate or see him performing at different venues. So welcome, my friend, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Maria. Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we had you on last year and always invite you to come back. So this year you have a really full list of calendar events that you want to share with our listeners. So let's get started. What's first up?
Yes, well, really hoping to get the ground running in 2020.
Yeah, well, you got a good start, kid.
Yes, and so this Friday there is an exciting event at the American Jazz Museum. It is J. McShann's birthday bash. At 7 p.m., there's a social hour hosted by his daughter, Janie McShann. And at 8:30, pianist Joe Cartwright will be playing a set. And then I have the opportunity to perform poetry.
That's so cool.
Now, the reason why I love this opportunity, as you know, I wrote a book called New,
right,
a screenplay.
Uh-huh.
New takes place at the Blue Room. During the screenplay, the characters are involved in an open mic. So my characters perform on the Blue Room stage. I literally get to perform in the same place as where my characters perform.
How exciting is that?
So
that is very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then so after this Friday, which I'm still going to be on cloud nine, and as far as J. McShann, can I say something about him?
Absolutely, please.
J. McShann, in a House Bill, 636, is described as the incomparable J. McShann. Emmanuel Cleaver presented a House Bill which named Kansas City as the home of jazz. If you have ever heard of J. McShann, ever heard his music, then you know that it touches parts of your soul and your heart, and it just makes you want to groove. So I truly am excited about this opportunity.
Wow. Wow. And I know that, you know, this Blue Room is just a fabulous venue for the birthday party. The birthday bash starts at 7 with a social hour and then goes on through 8:30 and so on. And that's at the American Jazz Museum, located at 1616 East 18th Street. And for more information, and I don't know, is it a ticketed event?
Well, it's a free event.
Okay.
For the social hour, you should RSVP on the American Jazz Museum website.
Okay, great.
But the event itself is a free event.
Yeah, and we can say that because we're not for profit.
Yes.
So, excellent. You know, and I should have said that poet T.L. Sanders is not only a poet, but you're also an educator.
Yes.
And a writer, a bodybuilder, and
yes,
many more things, right?
I try to be all things, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. And do you want to give a shout-out to your school?
Of course. So there's some cool things happening with our school district, Frontier School Systems. Kind of jumping to March, I have the opportunity to MC an event called the KC Fringe, or excuse me, the KC STEM Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That event is March 13th from 11 to 1 at Union Station. And if you come out, you'll hear me say, "Welcome to the KC STEM Festival.
What is the STEM Festival about?
It is about innovation in every way. Good. So there are over 150 exhibits. Mm-hmm. Solar car, rocketry, robotics, 3D printing, hovercraft. And students take the guest on a journey as to how they created it, and they let them experience the innovation. Mm-hmm. Frontier Schools is doing some great things. Among them, we're hoping to develop a innovation center. This will allow students the opportunity to really hone in on the STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
And that is a charter school. And where are they located?
Well, we have several campuses. One campus is near Troost. It's called Frontier School of Excellence. Another campus is near Worlds of Fun, Commerce area.
Okay.
Frontier STEM High School. We have Frontier School of Innovation, Elementary and Middle. So we serve K-12 students. And of course, the goal, when we think about students, that's really our tomorrow, right? We're thinking 2020.
Yeah.
And hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
But really.
Right.
They are our future.
Well, you know, and with the STEM Festival, I think there's instills such a pride and a sense of, you know, accomplishment when these students are able to show, you know, visitors, this is what we've done. This is what, you know, the goal was, our mission, and all of that. And here's the finished product. So
yes,
that's really wonderful to share with guests.
And past festivals are included at kcstemfest.org.
Okay.
Or, of course, there is frontierschools.org.
And, you know, so we talked about January 10th with the Jay McShann birthday bash. That's coming up on Friday. And then we skipped February, kind of. So,
yes.
Want to talk about February events?
Oh, sure. Well, kind of going back to the vein of my book, I have a book called New, the Screenplay. New was included at the KC Fringe Festival. It actually was awarded the Producers Pick Award.
Congratulations for that,
yes, and so that show will be at Missouri Western State University on February 10th. Now, February 10th is a special day. It's my father's birthday, actually. Mm-hmm. And kind of some background information about the book. The main character comes back to Kansas City from Pennsylvania to go to his father's funeral. His father ends up dying of a heroin overdose. Mm. In real life, my father passed away due to heroin overdose. Mm. And so the guests will see a depiction of seeking forgiveness and granting forgiveness.
Oh, a beautiful.
It's a solo show.
Beautiful story.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
That same show will be in Friends Presents, I want to say March 18th. Through the 21st at Union Station City Stages.
Okay.
You can find,
More information can be found at your website?
PoetTLSanders.com.
Terrific. And I also want to say congratulations to you for your work at Missouri Western State University, because they're also using your book as part of their creative writing course, right?
Yes, and that is a possibility. We're still having conversations around that.
Okay.
But that is a possibility.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Terrific.
And as well, if I may say,
sure.
Missouri Western State University has a special place in my heart because I'm a National Writing Project teacher consultant, and on that campus is Prairieland Writing Project. They are my writing family.
Oh,
because of Prairieland.
Yeah, you need that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because
so
of
important.
Prairieland, I met Dr. Marianne Kunkel, who is a poet and an author. And she has a book called Hillary All Made Up. So, yeah.
We need to talk to her,
too.
So
many creatives.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, if you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, or if you're listening to us online at kkfi.org, I'm talking with poet T.L. Sanders, and we're going through this extensive calendar of wonderful events that he's going to perform, not only with for the Jay McShann birthday bash on Friday, January 10th at the American Jazz Museum. There's also February and March events that are coming up, and for more information, his website again is
PoetTLSanders.com.
Do you want to talk about the Nelson?
Yes, please.
Hopkins
and that
Award?
Is yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you. So this is February 15th with choreographer Tristan Griffin. Tristan Griffin and I have worked on countless occasions mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. We were in the Pearl Fishers. Yes, and that was magical.
Yeah.
We were on 18th and Vine, the American Jazz Museum, for another show where he danced. I did poetry. There was music. Again, magical. this particular show on February 15th is called Palimpsest. It's a choose your experience show, free to the public, at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, February 15th at 1:30 p.m.
You know, and if you would, because we had this conversation out in the green room when John Todd, the radio god, stopped by. Hello, John Todd. I know you're listening. And I had mentioned that John Todd and I have a really wonderful relationship where he's like my little brother. I lost my little brother 3 years ago, and John Todd is just got that same energy. So
yes.
Talk about what our conversation was about, the definition of that word.
Yes. Well, I actually learned this word. I was reminded of this word from Tristan Griffin on the set of Pearl Fishers, and it means something modified, yet original traces remain.
Mm-hmm.
So as you come to Palimpsest, you'll see something you've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
yet it will feel like home.
Wow. There will be some familiarity about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Will it be within the words or the movement or both?
Both and.
Wow.
Yes, there are dancers, of course, wonderful choreography. There are performers, poets, and singers. It's worth experiencing.
You know, and I have to ask you about how you begin to work with a choreographer as a poet. I mean, do the words flow and you move, or is there movement or the word? It's kind of like the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, well.
Or both. I mean, it could be both, right?
Yes, and it depends on, it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
When we worked together at the American Jazz Museum, we wrote separately.
Okay.
When we came together for performance, the universe somehow tapped into both of our energies,
uh-huh.
and we were just on. Of course, we have a theme that we want to follow, and from that theme, we start to build poetry or choreography.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow,
yes.
Yeah, you know, again, when we were talking out in the green room, you had mentioned a poem that you might or could recite.
Oh, yeah.
While you're here, would
sure.
you like to do that now?
No problem.
All right.
So this particular poem is part of what will be heard tonight, or excuse me, on Friday at J. Mac Chan's birthday bash. Of course, I can't say enough about how legendary his presence is. Of course, I didn't get to meet him, but via the Google Cloud, I mean, I feel like he is my family.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what a part of what came out. The music just showed up in the wind, in the air, in the light, in the earth, in the soul of the sound, simply tingling in the ear when wishful whistles whisper, wanting to hold a baby. McShan was born in 1916. Yeah, doctors thought he coughed a cry, unhappy. Nah, that was a blues note, he howled the hootenanny. As this wise owl began to grow, he was mindful of other birds, like the ones called Jim Crow. Did y'all know, old Oklahoma, McShan's birthplace, was the first to segregate the payphone? Yep, that's where Hootie called home once upon a time, before he had a car, or a house, or a lock, or a song in need of a key. Piano, once upon a time, in rich, thick, deep soil, where dreams don't defer, they cultivate and go play music in clean dirt. These dreams nurse those hopes who wish to listen or sing in whispered whistles. The whispered whistles of middle seas, where the keys were. Once upon a time, the do-wah-do, Hootie's blues did what it do, confessing boogie-woogie moves. Thank you for holding them, Hootie. Holding them dreams and perfecting your profession, truly confessing the blues. He would sit on a bench, open his fist, and joy to the jingle would ooze from his fingertips, making the piano rattle, the shackles and battle, their sadness that baffles the madness, riddled with rhythms to rumble the room. The horn, the trumpet be blowing and humming. The vocals were something pushed from the stomach. Emotion and vomit, so quick grab a bucket, then flip it and drum it to pummel the struggle when life doubles trouble. Hootie tripled the treble. And I'll stop right there.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. And we'll be able to hear its entirety at the J. McShann Birthday Bash on Friday.
Yes.
For more information, visit AmericanJazzMuseum.org. There you go. So is there any parting words that you want to give us before we take a real quick break?
Well, sure. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the air.
Yeah. It's community radio.
Yes.
We're happy to have you.
And, of course, I want to thank my my publisher, Flying Ketchup Press.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They are an amazing company, organization to
Polly
work with.
Polly McCann. Yes.
Polly Alice McCann.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. And again, for more information, poettlsanders.com is the website. And we look forward to hearing more from you. And, you know, we're going to just take a real quick break. I'm going to play a little of that J. McShann song for you. Is that
thank
right?
You.
All right.
Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine. She said she loved me so. That was once upon a time, very long ago. Once upon a hill, we sat beneath a willow tree. Stars and waiting for the dawn.
And we'll be back with Art Speak Radio after these messages.
So once upon a time.
Support for KKFI provided by the Carlson Center at Johnson County Community College, presenting a jazz winterlude with vocalist Ebony Fondren, Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. Backed by piano, bass, and drums, singing from the American Songbook and Jazz Standards, Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. in the Polsky Theater. Details at jccc.edu/Carlson Center.
Ebony's Bones is a kitchen table conversation that explores the souls of Black folk as we decolonize and question everything that we've been told to believe. Tune in this Thursday, January 9th at 7 p.m. and have a seat at the table.
And we're back. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Brandon Harrelson, who is the Communications Manager, Engagement and Public Policy for Arts KC. We're happy to have him in the studio. And, you know, we're going to talk about Arts KC, sort of the programming, what they do, because believe it or not, some people may not know how far they reach into the arts, and we're going to find out what's going on with them. So welcome, Brandon Harrelson.
Hello, it's great to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So, yeah, Arts KC is great. They've developed all sorts of programs and services designed to unleash the power of the arts.
That's right. Yeah. Last year was our 20th year in existence. So
that's crazy.
20 years of promoting, supporting, and advocating for the arts in Kansas City, but also the 5-county region, which I think a lot of people don't understand. That's Platt, Jackson, and Clay here on Missouri side. Mm-hmm. I'm from Southwest Missouri, so I do say Missouri.
And we'll forgive you for that.
Yeah. And also Wyandotte and Johnson in Kansas.
Yeah, I think that that doesn't come to mind, you know, when people think about the arts. You know, it spills over to the Kansas side, too. So
absolutely.
Thank you for that reach.
Yeah.
So you promote the arts, the support, and advocate for mm-hmm. the arts, too, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's the... A lot of my duty is the advocacy part, the government relations, public policy part, making sure that those who hold the governmental purse strings understand the not only cultural significance of the arts, but the economic development that the arts really can spur. The arts in Kansas City are the third largest employer in the area, in the metro region, and they produce over $276 million in economic impact just in this area.
Is that surprising to some people, or is it some well-known fact?
Oh, I think it's very surprising. Yeah, I think a lot of people have, you know, I come from... not the nonprofit world, just in general. And I think a lot of people think of nonprofits, which most arts organizations, if not all, are nonprofits at the end of the day. They think that nonprofits are just kind of constantly have their hand out, constantly asking for the next check, having events, you know, promoting. But nonprofits, specifically the arts nonprofits in this area and all over the country, they provide a huge boon to the economy, both regionally and statewide. Mm-hmm. And It's our job as Arts KC, it's my job specifically as our public policy manager to make sure that that story is being told, that that side of the coin is being presented. You know, I'm an artist, a singer, an actor myself, and I certainly, when I was doing a show before I got into this in 5 years ago into the public policy side, I wasn't aware of that impact. And I think it's something that if you know that, you know, the arts doesn't need to feel kind of subservient to some of the other sectors around us. I mean, we are an economic driver for sure.
Well, and I think being an artist and a musician, singer, yourself, a performer and all that, you know what you need in terms of, you know, your arts support and the advocacy.
Right.
So I think that you're in the right position that you should be for that, really.
Well, thank you. I feel very blessed. I get to work in a interesting fusion of my life. So
yeah, you know, and before we go any further, I want to say that in all honesty, that KKFI is a recipient of a grant from Arts KC. 23 other local organizations have been awarded grants for arts projects, so I just want to disclose that up front. And this is not the reason why we have you on, truly, because we want our listeners to learn about the programs and services that you provide, including grant making, artskcgo.com, now showing, and so many more. So
sure.
Take it from there.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is our recent announcement of 23 local community organizations who received funding from us for what we call our Catalyst Project Grant.
Uh-huh.
And those are for organizations that aren't necessarily arts-based mission, but have a arts-based program as a part of their, or a project as part of their mission. And so that is how KKFI, you know, they're one of our 23 mm-hmm. grant recipients this round. We have four categories of grants throughout the year. There's Project Catalyst, which is, like I said, for organizations that may not have an arts focus, but an art project. There's Catalyst Mission, which is for mission arts-based organizations. There's Inspiration Grants, which is for individual artists. And there is Ovation Grants, which is for what we call well-established mm-hmm. organizations. So those are maybe potentially some of your larger organizations. So we do that. And then you mm-hmm. mentioned a couple others. Now Showing is a program that is so interesting, and I love it. When I came in, it's putting artists, individual artists, local artists, with businesses or any kind of office space where businesses or people with office space want to hang local artwork in their office for their customers, for their clients, for their staff. Putting those two entities together, that has almost 300 artists that have been utilized so far. And
that's such a smart partnership. I mean, it really is.
Almost 200 businesses have participated in that in just the metro area. So that's I love that program. We also have other programs like our advocacy. I talked about that. And that includes several different things. It's regional, so kind of municipality-based. So the city, it's state, and it's federal. And we have some events coming up with advocacy that are meant to help local people understand how they can advocate for the arts on that level.
Okay.
So Friday, January 17th at Black Archives of Mid-America, we are hosting a advocacy workshop. So that's going to be from 2 to 3:30 at Black Archives of Mid-America. And that's really going to get – we're going to have a representative from the Missouri Citizens for the Arts and a local, Chrissy Dastrup, to talk about how you can advocate for the arts, issues that are coming up that may be important for you to mm-hmm. make your voice heard on. And so we're going to do that for an hour and a half. And then from 3:30 to 5, we're inviting local legislators, local elected officials, and any other community members to meet with those people. So you can kind of – it's kind of a soft way to test those skills and get to know them and kind of put that action into – or put that principle into action. So that's – and that's free. Mm-hmm. So go to artskc.org/events/advocacy workshop specifically for that one. You can also just click advocacy tab and you can see both of them.
And now, then, is that in lieu of the trip to Jeff City when people go and advocate for the arts, knocking on doors and talking to
right.
representatives and that? Yeah.
No, it's not. Actually, this year it's we're making it kind of a pregame to that. So
good,
it's kind of getting
good.
Your getting those skills up to snuff. And then the 5th, February 5th, is still that Citizens Day for the arts at the Missouri Capitol. So that's in conjunction with Missouri Citizens for the Arts. And that you can also register for. If you register with us, you get to ride on the Arts KC bus to and from, which is great. We do like a little presentation before mm-hmm. we get there, so you can kind of be armed with what you need to know. It's very, very chill. I know a lot of people don't, you know, kind of scares them to think to talk in that way to people that that are their elected officials, but it's really easy. They make it so easy. MCA also makes it really easy on us, so it's a lot less complicated and scary than you might think. And getting on that bus is really helpful in getting there and back. But I just want to say too, St. Louis, they bring 2 busfuls of people yeah. every year to this, and
yeah.
I am so tired of them beating us in that representation. So please go to artskc.org/advocacy. You can find these events and join us with those, because your voice matters. And legislators hearing that, that you support the arts and that the arts are an important economic driver and cultural institution, that's important.
You know, you have to realize that Arts KC serves as a hub for the arts community and the public at large in the Kansas City metro region. If you have any ideas, a question, or just want to check out Arts KC, or even the Resource Center for artists, arts organizations, and art enthusiasts, Arts KC. Let me see. artskc.org is the website.
Correct.
You know, we're going to take a real quick break, and
sure.
then we're going to be back with Brandon Harrelson, and we're going to learn some more. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, 2 takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a movie for news junkies, and it's called Bombshell.
This film is a bombshell. It really is like an exposé of what happens in an organization where, from the top down, there is sexual harassment going on.
Yeah, it's the true story of Fox News anchors Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson in their bid to dethrone that sexist network honcho Roger Ailes. Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, Margot Robbie, and John Lithgow, I think, all do fine work. But the filmmaker's approach to this material I found to be kind of timid.
Well, in the beginning, I thought it was like a National Enquirer expose. But then, I'll tell you, I thought Margot Robbie's performance was so well done in showing the excruciating anguish of what a woman goes through when there is sexual harassment and your job is on the line.
I think that's an interesting point of view, particularly given the fact that hers is the only fictional character in the movie.
I thought she stole the show from all the others.
One thing I will say about this movie, even though I found it to be a little too reticent to take on the big topics, the makeup is Oscar caliber, because some of these people you're not even going to recognize.
Well, again, I have to say Margot Robbie is the one to observe, because she really displays what sexual harassment feels like to a woman.
Bombshell could have been a riveting expose in the vein of something like The Big Short, which I can't think they started to do, but ultimately it's just an interesting overview.
I encourage you to see it. Where have you heard this before? Roger Ailes makes the comment, "It cuts both ways. I want something in return. Prove your loyalty."
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today or listening online. So we're going to get back to Brandon Harrelson. Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
He's our Communications Manager, Engagement and Public Policy with Arts KC. They develop programs and services designed to unleash the power of the arts. So much going on. Yeah, yeah.
It's very busy.
Yeah, and it's really for the artists and organizations that you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you were telling us about some of the different programmings and all that. Do you have any submissions that artists would be interested in or opportunities that you want to discuss?
Sure. So right now we currently have Lori Eigel's work showcasing in our gallery, and that is going, I think, through February. So we go ahead.
Well, and tell us where the gallery is located.
So gallery is 106 Southwest Boulevard, and we so it's right by that town topic there at the corner of Baltimore and 19th. So, but Lori, so she's there until February. She's going to be there for first Friday of February too. So you can come anytime to see it, but during the week to see it, but specifically first Friday is there, and that is something that you can go to our website artskc.org, and then I think it's /gallery. But you can see under program, the programs tab, that it talks about how to showcase in our gallery itself. So that is one thing for visual artists, individual artists as well. But mm-hmm. also the Now Showing program, you can sign up online to be an artist to submit your work for a business that they can pick from. And for more grant making, the deadline for our round two of inspiration grants, so that's the one for individual artists, for them to apply, all you have to be, we grant to every medium. There is no,
okay.
Everyone, every medium can apply, and that is the deadline for preliminary applications is February 7th.
Yeah, that's really coming up fast, and
yeah.
So you want to be sure and get your things together. What are some of the guidelines that people would want to know, first off, for the Inspiration Grants applying to that? I'm sure there's pretty strict guidelines in that?
For the Inspiration Grants themselves, okay. You just have to be over 18 to apply as an individual artist. And then
they'll be in this locale that you serve.
Though I think we have gone outside of it. Maybe not. I don't know. I can kind of hear Heather Beffa back at the office being like, no, we do. We only.
Oh, she's on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. No, so that, and then there is other criteria that it should be something that's transformative for you in your career, so something that promotes you to the next step.
Okay.
But it can be different things. So, for instance, we had recently an artist who just released her album that she was granted her grant for.
Okay.
And so things like that. And then we have also had an installation, Susan White. She's a local visual artist. One of her works premiered in Como, Italy. So mm-hmm. it varies, but you can check that webpage for more.
Yeah.
So that's easy. artskc.org/grantmaking. It's all one word. That's a really good place to go see the hub of all of the grants we give.
Yeah.
You can see what organizations are eligible for what, and individuals. That's the best place to be.
Beautiful. Yeah. And when you talk about the artskcgo.com, let's talk about that, because that will give you information about what's around Kansas City and the different galleries, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So artskcgo.com is our most public-facing website, and that is where anyone in the public can go search for local arts events, and that features every medium as well. Around the holidays, we have a holiday tab, so you can find shows like that. And it's not just performance. There's gallery listings there. There's all kinds of events there. But artskcgo.com. And I should mention, too, that if you want, we also have one weekly newsletter, one biweekly newsletter. The Arts KC Go is every other week. And mm-hmm. that, if you go to our website, you can sign up for all of these newsletters, and you can get kind of front-facing information about it rather than having to go and be proactive and look on the website. You can also get kind of a listing in your inbox every week. So you can go to artskc.org. At the bottom, you can sign up for all of our newsletters.
You know, we're very lucky to have Arts KC here in Kansas City. to help advocate and support the arts and, you know, work with the artists and organizations, because it's really important. I mean, it's there's so much that your organization provides for artists and folks that it's really valuable. And we thank you for your contribution to the arts in that. And again, you know, I think you're the right person for this for this job, because as a working artist yourself, you know the needs.
And it's something where, you know, my job, my role, I may have been there at Arts KC 2 months, but really is to get to where a place where every artist in the city knows of us, and not just for our sake, but for their sake.
Yeah.
So they know of us as a resource, so that they can, you know, that we can help them further their career, because that's what we're here for. We're here to unleash the power of the arts. So, and that's whether you are an individual artist, you're an organization getting off the ground, you're an organization that's been around for 50 years. We want you to be able to succeed as well.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to contact you, aside from your website, perhaps want to call you directly or talk to someone about any question that they have about any of the programming or visiting the exhibition or whatever, how would they get a hold of someone?
They can email us at info@artskc.org, or they can call 816-221-1777. That'll put you in touch with someone, and stop in and see us too. You know, we're the gallery's open kind of in the middle of the day during the week, and we're happy to have guests come in, and we want to be a community resource as well as an artist resource.
I love that. Whenever I stopped in to the gallery, there's always someone that's available to just kind of, they've just kind of come out of their office and say, hey, you know, and introduce themselves and talk with you briefly, and a little bit you find out about the artist and some of the programming and that sort of thing. So
sure,
we're happy to have you. Great. Brandon, will you come back, please?
Sure. The last event, our biggest event of the year is our luncheon. And it's been called the best of luncheon season, and I think that is absolutely accurate. So that's February 20th. It's going to be at the K Barnes Ballroom. You can find more information artskc.org/awards.
And it's such a blast.
Yeah, so we have five or six featured artists this year. We have some amazing honorees. We give out awards to artists and art enthusiasts, and it is going to be an epic event this year. So you can go to that website to buy your tickets, buy your table.
We just can't give out ticket prices.
Yeah, you do not want to miss it. It's a great,
terrific,
great event.
Yeah, so that's coming up in February.
Yeah, February 20th.
So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Brandon, thank you so very
much.
Thank
you, Maria.
We're going to come back with you sometime and talk about your KC Opera Collaborative, because I love opera.
I've got plenty more to talk about. So
we'll have you on not only representing Arts KC, but as yourself as an artist.
Great.
Very good. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this message.
The Missouri and Kansas legislative sessions begin this week and next. The Heartland Labor Forum usually anticipates them with dread. This Thursday, we'll find out from Representative Judy Morgan from Missouri, and for Kansas, from Rabbi Moti Reber of Kansas Interfaith Action, about what bills are lurking in the halls of Topeka and Jefferson City. Could any of them be good for our fellow workers? Tune in to find out Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Terrific. This is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. And up next, we have the incorrigible Mason Andrew Kilpatrick.
Howdy, Maria. How you doing?
Hi, darling. Happy New Year. He's the Marketing and Communications Manager of Charlotte Street Foundation. And they identify the needs and fuels the evolution of an ever-changing multidisciplinary arts ecosystem.
Yep, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, that's too many for me. But, you know, we're happy to have you back, because there's so much going on with Charlotte Street Foundation. But it's kind of been the arts all around.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Charlotte Street Foundation, you know, going back to when I first joined the organization 2 years ago, when we celebrated our 20th year anniversary, we really picked up and we were kind of all over the metro area. And then in 2019, we kind of started to dial back and kind of think about what is best for the health of Charlotte Street Foundation going into the future, and how can we best serve artists in such a quickly changing landscape of Kansas City, because it's changing super fast.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And so, you know, Charlotte Street in 2020 actually is going to be a really exciting time for not only those working within the organization, but also for the artists within the metro area who could really benefit from the services that we provide. I think kind of the big news that we can kind of talk about today, obviously, yes. is just like we're going to be launching and opening a new campus, finally a new permanent home in which
Hooray.
We own within the late spring of 2020. So that's super exciting. The campus is actually going to be located in the Roanoke Industrial Corridor, just right off of Wyoming Street, so kind of behind that Quick Trip on 31st and Southwest Boulevard, mm-hmm. if you know where that
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really exciting because it's going to have a white box gallery space, a black box theater performance space, a courtyard outdoors for people to enjoy but also have outdoor performances, and then we're also going to have brand new, really nice rehearsal rooms for performing artists in like a mezzanine third floor, kind of second level kind of where dance artists can kind of dance and practice and musicians can practice on their own. And then a third floor at the very top, which will be enough to host up to 20 individual studios for visual artists and writers. And mm-hmm. what's really going to be nice about all of this, it's all going to be in one space.
Yeah. So will it take the place of the location now that are studio spaces?
Yeah.
For artists?
Yeah, so for the past, you know, over 20 years, Charlotte Street's kind of been kind of dispersed in everything that we've done. We've mm-hmm. we've always hosted exhibitions for various different partners. We've had so many different venues all around the area. We've had multiple different locations for our studios.
Right.
All of that is currently housed downtown in the Town Pavilion building on the sixth floor. But the problem with that is, one, when you have such a small staff of five full-timers like us, having to go to sometimes four or five different venues around the area makes it really hard for us to really give artists their due and the needs that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to actually be able to own our space. So now when things happen to the facility or when artists need to make upgrades
yeah.
or when something breaks, like we'll actually have full agency to fix those. And we'll only have to walk maybe 100 steps mm-hmm. to go check out that problem rather than having to drive from venue to venue.
You know, as people are listening to you talk about this new building and all that, would you give the website information? And is there possibly a model or architect's rendering of the space and the content?
Yeah, no. So you can definitely learn more about this campus by going to www.charlottestreet.org. And there you can actually click on a tab that says CSFHQ FAQ. And there it's going to be an FAQ of about all the kind of details that you need to know of like what the process that we're going through in terms mm-hmm. of setting up mm-hmm. that campus and why it was needed. But you can also look up the hashtag on Instagram, hashtag CharlotteStreet2020. Okay. And by checking out that hashtag, and this is also available on our Facebook and Twitter as well, you can see kind of the construction updates that's going on right now. So people love looking at that stuff. That's pretty enticing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's upcoming
attractions.
Yeah, and then you can also see really cool renderings provided by Huft, who is, of course, in charge of designing the campus and renovation of the space. And you can kind of see all the different spaces and services that we'll be able to provide.
Wow. You know, and I had the privilege, you had taken me through the building and sort of, and this space is going to be this and that. And, you know, I can visualize it, and it's just going to be a wonderful jewel for the city and for artists.
Yeah, no, and it's going to be really awesome to have brand new space, brand new utilities, equipment for artists to be able to they themselves get experience with and use, mostly just because in the past Charlotte Street's been really only been able to afford to bring people space, which space is very valuable right now, as
absolutely.
Many artists know, but now we're actually going to be able to provide them better services, better equipment as that as well, which is like a double bonus.
But you know, I have to ask you, Mason, you're wonderful in this role as a marketing and communications manager for Charlotte Street. Yeah, you're awesome. And again, you're also a working artist too.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be a part of this, you know, groundbreaking kind of like, wow, this is going to be here for a very long time. How does that feel for you?
It's kind of surreal, honestly, to know that you're taking part in a process of creating something new that hasn't really existed before, something for a specific community of people that really need a lot of help right now, artists in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to know that, sure, I can come up with what I think that this space is going to be used within mm-hmm. the next 5 years, but sometime long after I'm gone, knowing that that space is still going to be functional and is probably going to be allowing even wackier, crazier, senior ideas that I can't even imagine really excites me.
Wow. So, I mean, that's huge for 2020. So
it is. And right now, in terms of current programs that we have to provide, we're kind of on a low key. We don't really have a lot to provide just because we're, you know, I mean, just the other week we kind of selected office furniture for this. So right now a lot of it's like internal, like what?
You got to have it.
Yeah, like what do we want the names of these rooms to be? How do we want this to be organized? Like, you know, the parking lots, all of that stuff.
Did the name Maria ever come up?
I think we're sticking with numbers, but if we do consider names, I'll throw that one in there.
Very good. You know, and I want to mention that you also, if I could, just throw this out there about the Crossroads Art Boards, because I mean that that's happening this year too.
It is, yes, and we actually recently just announced the winners of the Crossroads Art Board. So, and of course, for those of you who are unfamiliar with that, the Crossroads Art Boards are located at 125 Southwest Boulevard and are above Bach Financial. So, anytime you drive down the Southwest Boulevard, you can see on both sides new original commissioned artwork from local Kansas City artists. And so up there right now was just installed from two amazing local Latinx artists. Rebecca Peck Mogel is facing the east side. And that specific piece definitely tackles the issue of immigration policies within the United States of America, which is very topical right now.
Exactly.
And then on the other side right now, currently up, is Desiree Morales, who is showing a really great piece that actually has a question on it of what is the responsibility of the institution, just in general, which I think most people should be questioning right now with the news that's going on.
True.
And, we just announced a full lineup of the next eight artists that will be showing through February of 2021, including artists such as Megan Papiwilliho, Megan Gainey, Joe Bussell, and more. So I don't have that list on me, but you can
I do,
definitely.
But that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay, you know, because it's really important to, you know, think about art outside of the institution, outside of the galleries and exhibition spaces. I mean, this is something that you may not recognize as art immediately, but it is.
Yeah.
And it's in the sky. Does Charlotte Street own those boards by any?
No. Okay. So Bach Financial owns those.
Okay.
And they, in the selection processes, they actually select the art that they want to see on those.
Okay.
Our job as Charlotte Street is one, we go through the call and we actually make the connections with artists because we know what artists need and how to reach out to them in terms of getting those applications. We do all that service for Bach Financial. In return, Bach Financial then gives $1,000 stipends to these artists and does the full printing costs and covers all of that. So it's a really nice relationship that we have with them.
So it'll be a little bit later when there will be a call for art boards, maybe at the end of 2020?
Yeah, so the call usually goes out around October in 2020. It goes out the same time as our Visual Artists and Generative Performing Artists Awards, which this year's awards are still currently up and actually being decided upon by a jury panel, so you can expect that news soon. We have over 100 artists from both of those awards who have applied for those $10,000 unrestricted cash grants, and we'll probably announce that sometime in February who the winners will be.
You know, and I want to mention, too, we can talk about making moves.
Yes. So, yeah.
What is making moves?
So I was going to say, we do have a few programs happening until we open, and one of those is a recurring series called Making Moves. So every second Thursday of the month, current studio resident Kyle Mullins hosts a different contemporary dance performance project in the capsule space located at 1664 Broadway. And every month is something different. They're free, and they're supposed to encourage contemporary dancers to come out and find a community and meet up and meet new peers or friends, express themselves. But it's also supposed to be a way for people who are interested in learning about contemporary dance in Kansas City to come out and check out, you know, what contemporary dance is in various different forms.
I love it.
And so the one this Thursday night at 7:30 is called an improv jam. So what's actually happening is we're inviting local musicians to come and improvise with their music and to perform together. And then at the same time have contemporary dancers come in of all skill levels and just dance to it. Around the space, there's no restrictions, there's no stage. You can be dancing on the walls, you can be dancing on the chairs if you want to, but learn how to move your body with music.
I love that.
It's very therapeutic.
I love that. It's open to movers of all backgrounds and abilities. How much fun could that be? Improv jam.
I know.
So, improvisation of scores, music, and community building are heavily encouraged. So is that something that people should get there a little bit early? The doors open at 7, right?
Yeah, so the doors open at 7, reason for that. The only reason why that's there is just because, one, sometimes people have to change their clothes. They get off of work and they go there and kind of want to dance in something more comfortable. But it also gives you a chance and opportunity to kind of just talk to the new people that are there, because there's always new faces at every single Making Moves, and there's always new people making connections. Mm-hmm. So that, with the, you know, the free drinks and services that are there, you can kind of have a little socializing time to kind of get to know some new people and then, you know, groove it out after.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And again, would you share with us the address and then the website for more information for folks who are just sort of like maybe driving along? They don't have time to take
Yeah, no, you can definitely find that information at charlottestreet.org. And you can also find us on Facebook @CharlotteStreet. That is at 7:30 p.m. this Thursday at Capsule, which is located at 1664 Broadway Boulevard. It is two doors down south of Los Tules. So if you need to grab a bite, you know, there's a few areas down there, and then you can check out that free show.
You know, and I would mention to people that the parking may be at a premium, especially if there is a performance at the Kauffman Center. So you might have to kind of, you know, do a little
And there's free parking in the lot behind us, in the gravel parking lot over on the next street west of Broadway.
Is that Washington?
Yes, it's Washington.
Okay.
So off of Washington and 17th there. But it does get full sometimes, too.
Wow. And, you know, one other thing, I don't know whether you want to mention this or not, about the Rocket Grants director.
Yeah.
Balav Julia Cole.
Mm-hmm. So Julia Cole is leaving the program after, honestly, 10 awesome years of dedicating herself to Rocket Grants. I mean, Rocket Grants itself has grown immensely within a decade, which I think is super impressive. I mean, over 120 projects have been funded just within Kansas City and the area around. Like even going out as far as like Topeka.
Right. She was very instrumental in you know, really promoting and answering questions and getting people excited about the Rocket Grant.
And she's also just like a great person. I mean, she's one of my best friends.
Too.
You know, like you can tell that she actually cares about artists.
She does.
And you know, segueing off of that, I mean, Charlotte Street Foundation currently has an opening now, a full-time job in which if people are interested in wanting to work within the art sphere, we are taking applications for a full-time grants and awards manager, which would help oversee the program of Rocket Grants. So if you think you're qualified enough to, you know, follow up the footsteps of Julia Cole, I definitely suggest you apply.
Come on down. So the Rocket Grants program is a partnership between the Charlotte Street Foundation in Kansas City, Missouri, and the Spencer Museum of Art at KU in Lawrence, Kansas, with funding from the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts.
Yeah.
So it's all rolled into one. So, you know, we wish her well, Julia Cole. She's just been fabulous in that position as the director. We are going to miss her, but, you know, I know life goes on, and she's just a terrific artist who I'm sure has things, juggling things, everything laid out ready for her to transition.
If you know Julia Cole, for sure, she's always going to find a way to be busy and to contribute to the arts community in some way.
Do you happen to know if she's going to stay in Kansas City?
As far as I know, yes.
She'd be crazy not to.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely need someone like Julia Cole still here as Kansas City changed so fast. So.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that I've left out that you want to mention? Go ahead.
Yeah, so the other thing that I definitely want to mention is, while Charlotte Street ourselves won't be having many programs these next few months until we open, our satellite programs of the Startup Residency will be. So I know a few weeks ago you had Angie on with the Startup Residency happening in the Northeast, three organizations moving over there just on Independence Avenue at the new Pendleton's Arts Block. That will be happening soon. The artists haven't moved in yet, but when that does, you'll definitely be getting more information.
Yeah.
But we do have two other startup residents that are pretty active still. The first one is Stray Cat Film Center, which is next to us on Broadway Boulevard at 1662 Broadway. They are actually – we're working with them right now of making sure that Stray Cat – because their residency is over with us, because they were last year's resident, we're actually working and negotiating on making sure that they actually still exist within that space.
Oh, God.
So Stray Cat will definitely continue
in some
capacity.
We've got to have them in. We've got to – Yeah. You know, there's so much going on in the arts and organizations and everything. It's like herding cats.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to have their say on air.
Yeah. And speaking of cats, Stray Cat Film Center actually has an event on Friday night that actually has suggested donations and actually goes towards benefiting local animal rescues.
Oh, good.
So
good,
it's cat themed. It's going to be a concert that showcases local artists Hellcat, Mildcats, and True Lions, and they highly encourage people to come in and dress up as cats. So if you're a cat person or a cat friend, definitely come check it out. It's on Friday from 8 p.m. to midnight. Stray Cat Film Center, if you've never seen a concert there, I would definitely suggest you check that out because it's really fun.
Terrific.
And then just the last note, we have one other current startup resident, Black Box on Truce. So over on 41st and Truce, Cynthia Hardman is doing a really great job of leading really cool community theater programs over there on the east side, which we definitely need more of. And on Friday for them, they're actually working with Creative Imaginations to host an event called Put the Guns Down Event Sponsorship. So from 4 to 6 p.m., at Black Box on Truce, they're actually doing a public video shoot where you can show up and take part in a video project that's all revolved around messaging towards addressing gun violence.
Beautiful.
And how do we reduce that in Kansas City, which, you know, seeing the gun violence rates even from last year is something that we really need to work on.
Very tragic. Well, thank you. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Lots of good things happening.
Yeah, I mean Charlotte Street, on the surface, it seems like we might have slowed down, at least for now, but we're definitely going to be picking up soon, and we have a lot going on still.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
You know, you're just wonderful to come in and talk with us, keep us up on what's going on, and we're very grateful for your contribution to the Arts Mason.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, Charlotte Street Foundation is very thankful for you, Maria.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always looking for opportunities to spread our word, and like we really appreciate that because we really don't want the arts to be overlooked. And it's programs like this, like Art Speak, that continue to make arts a focus, right?
Thank you so
draw
much.
Draw attention for it.
You know, everyone deserves a voice, you know, about, you know, educating people about what they do and who they are, and everyone has a story. So thank you so much for that. Great. You know, I'm going to close out Art Speak Radio and thank Brandon Harrelson and T.L. Sanders, also Mason Andrew Kilpatrick. Thank you so very much. Next week on the show, January 15th, we have the hour filled with, we're going to fill the hour with Kansas City Artists Coalition, Marissa Stark, Corey Emig, and so many more. We're going to talk about sort of the history of KCAC and their new locations.
The space is awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
The space is really good.
Yeah, I tell you. It's a great location, too.
It is.
So I'm going to say thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm going to say it. You say it with me, honey. I'm coming home.